This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Dan Woods, and we're talking today with Dr. Sarah Dietrich. She is Associate Professor in the Department of English at SEMO. She's been selected for the second time to participate in the U.S. State Department's English Language Specialist Program. I started off by asking Sarah about the program.
The State Department has a number of different kinds of programs where they have people from the U.S. who teach English to people outside the United States. There's something called a virtual educator program. There's something called English language fellows. That's for people who are at the beginning of their career. And there are people who are called English language specialists. That's what I'm doing, who are thought to have some kind of special training in a particular area. And they are asked to work with projects. So what happens is the U.S. embassies or consulates around the world will say, we want to develop this course or this project. And then they get in touch with the English Language Specialist programs, and they match us up. There's a little bit of an interview like there would be with a job, and then they select whoever would be the best match.
I read that this is the screening process and the selection process is pretty rigorous. Give us an idea of all the things you had to do to be able to get into this program.
Sure. Well, I guess the most rigorous part is actually the application. You have to be able to show that you've got, you know, formal training and that you've got years of experience working with English in different contexts. They like to see if you've worked outside of the United States and also specifically with particular areas. Probably about 11 years now. I was part of a program that was a Fulbright program, and it brought people from Iraq to the United States. So I'm certainly not an expert on Iraq, but I had a chance to work with people from the same region as the people of this program. So that gave me a little bit of experience, a little bit of knowledge about the topics they might be interested in and kind of the lay of the land.
And is this once again where you're going to be working with folks in the Kurdistan region of Iraq? Is it the same group as last time?
It is. And so it's essentially the same group. I hope there'll be a good number of, I don't have the final class list yet, but I hope there'll be a number of people who were with us last year at this time. And then the idea is that they're going to tell their friends and colleagues and kind of recruit more people who might be interested in and being part of the course.
So just generally, give us an idea and talk about the impact for someone in their life for learning a new language. Uh-huh. What does it mean to them?
It's huge. So I'll talk about the people who are in the course. Most of them work with nonprofits, international nonprofits on different projects. So English is the language that they use every day, even though they're in Kurdistan, Iraq. They're writing all of their reports in English. They're communicating with their supervisors. They're asking for budgets and that kind of thing in English. So the stronger their English is, the more opportunities they have to move forward in their professions. One of the people who's involved is, actually a couple are academics, and you know, almost everything that people in universities write is in English these days all over the world. So that's another reason that people might want to strengthen their English.
What do you enjoy most about this program? What do you get out of it personally, professionally?
There are a couple of things. The work that I do mostly at SEMO, which I love, is training teachers. But it's been a while since I've taught English language learners directly myself. So it gives me a really good chance to kind of apply, you know, put my money where my mouth is and see if I still know how to do it.
Right.
It's also fun it's just a challenge to work with new people, teaching synchronously, you know, we're all online on Zoom at the same time is kind of a balancing act sometimes. So that's really interesting. And mostly the people that I'm working with are so talented and so fascinating. They teach me things every class. So it's really fun for me.
Doing the program, what is something that has surprised you as you've been doing this? It'll be your second time now. What is something that you weren't expecting?
Well, something, and this seems kind of silly, I guess, but and it's something that a lot of people have faced, but because we are doing it at a time when it's about 9 o'clock p.m. for my students, most of them don't turn their cameras on. And that is a little bit challenging sometimes. So I needed to learn how to really build community, build connection, even if we can't see each other face to face. Also, just I've learned a little bit about the areas where they work, and some of the fact that these people that I'm working with didn't know each other. So it's been kind of fun to watch them get to know each other in this setting. It's been interesting.
Okay, well, that's all my questions. Is there anything else you want to add about the program that you think might be of interest?
No, I want to thank you again for your interest and for your constantly supporting things that are going on at CMO. And I just wanted to mention, I think the last time we talked about this program, but also the Masters in TESOL at CMO, which is for people from all over the world, but it's also for people who are in the Southeast Missouri area. There are lots of students who need good teachers. So if people are interested in studying and learning more about teaching English to speakers of other languages, I hope they'll be in touch.
That sounds great. Well, Sarah, it's always good to talk to you, and thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Well, Dan, thanks again for the invitation, and it was good to catch up with you.
We've been going public with Dr. Sarah Dietrich. She is Associate Professor in the Department of English at Southeast Missouri State. To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org, and don't forget to subscribe to the Going Public podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts.